Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. This is your host, Imam Luqman Ahmed, again on another episode of the Muslim Review. Thank you for tuning in. We're going to continue from our show that we did last week, talking about how to acquire Islamic knowledge in a simple fashion. What particular books are good? We're going to talk about two books today. But first, I just want to say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillah wassalatu wassalam ala rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Again, welcome to our show. You're listening to Imam Luqman Ahmed. The name of our show is The Muslim Review, where we talk about issues relating to Muslims, and we talk clearly and candidly, and we don't do any political correctness here. Last week we were talking about how there's so much information out there about Islam. There's so many hundreds of thousands of books and articles and treatises and opinions and so on and fatwas, and still people, a lot of people don't understand even the basics of what it is to be a Muslim. A lot of times people don't understand fundamental things about our faith. You know, I'm going to diverge a minute and talk about the situation with the Syrians, and the crisis that's going on in the city of Aleppo. First of all, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have mercy on all the believers, all the suffering, no matter where they are. But I got a couple emails in the mail about Aleppo. It's saying, Imam, I give khutbah every Friday at the masjid. And so they said, and it wasn't just directed towards me, it was directed to all Imams, I guess, all of the Imams in the country. Imam, we're urging Imams to dedicate Friday Jumu'ah to the Syrians and, Aleppo and so on. Excuse me. Now, we make dua for all the Muslims. And the situation in Aleppo is horrendous. There are men, women, and children being mercilessly gunned down. The Assad government is just relentless. And it's a bad situation. But we're still Muslims. So we don't dedicate Jumu'ah to anyone. If you want to talk about something during khutbah to Jumu'ah, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. But dedicating our prayers to anyone or anything, no, we just don't do that. That's shirk, okay? And I wanted to clear that up because people may take it as I'm anti-Syrian, anti-immigrant. No, it has nothing to do with that. I'm pro-Islam. And that just goes back to what I was talking about Islamic knowledge, because now so much of the way we practice our faith is based upon sheer emotion, emotional outbursts, emotional responses to selected items placed in the media and offered to us on a platter for us to consume it and to respond to it. And we do it all, or much of it, on the basis of emotion. Emotion, the word for that in Islamic terminology is hawa. Your emotion, your whim. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "La yu'min ahadukum hatta yakuna hawahu taba'an lima ji'tu bihi." The Prophet said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that none of you have truly believed until his hawa, his whim, his emotional response to things is taba'an lima ji'tu bihi, is in concordance with what I've come with. So there are hadith and verses of Quran that point us to the direction of how we channel our emotional responses in an Islamic way, because we're still Muslim. Everything can't be about your emotion. We hate what's going on in Syria, but because of that, we don't want to start, we've already started, we don't want to start dedicating this or that Jumu'ah, this or that prayer, of what is the fara'id. We don't want to start dedicating prayer, Jumu'ah prayer, to anything or anyone except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We want to get away from that, because that is polytheism. That is shirk. That's shirk according to our laws. Again, you're listening to Imam Luqman Ahmed on a blog talk radio show called The Muslim Review, and we're talking about knowledge today. And the call-in number is 929-477-2385 if you'd like to call in and listen. We were talking last week about knowledge. We're talking about people who come into the religion of Islam. And back in the day, there was a certain minimal standard that you had to learn, and it was the last 10 surahs of the Quran. Number one, it was Ayatul Kursi, verse 255 in the Quran. It was the dhikrs, the remembrances that you say after the prayer, the basic ones, subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, those things that you say that is the sunnah. And you had to learn the fatiha. You had to learn how to lead the prayer, perform the prayer, and you had to learn all of the conditions and requirements of purification. You had to know how to make a wudu. When is your wudu necessary? You had to learn how to make a ghusl, a ritual bath. When is that necessary? When do you have to make it? How do you make it? What does a woman do about menstruation? If she's menstruating, can she pray? What can she do? What shouldn't she do while she's menstruating? So you had to learn those things when you first came into Islam. This is back in the day where we didn't have internet. So we didn't have a zillion sheikhs, you know, telling you what you can do, what you couldn't do. This is where we didn't have as much outside influence. In fact, the books that we had on Islam, it wasn't that many. I remember when people used to use this book called Elementary Teachings of Islam. It was a white book. It was a small paperback book. And it had all that in there. It had what Muslims believe. And people didn't even talk about Aqidah. In fact, they didn't even use the word Aqidah back then in America. Didn't even use that. It was your belief. And know too that the word Aqidah, this is not the way that the Prophet did. He didn't use that word either. He used derivative of the word aqd. The word aqidah comes from the word aqd, which means to contract or to tie a knot or a knot. So aqidah means that what your heart wraps around in terms of belief. But the Prophet did not teach aqidah in that sense. The Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, when he taught religion, he taught it very simply. Believe this, believe that, do this, do that, don't do this, don't do that. Allah is this, Allah is not that. He didn't go into deep theological discussion with people, and all of them were converts. People aren't built to absorb deep philosophical discussion. It just sends them in the wrong direction in many cases. So back in the day, that was the basic things that you had to learn. And people would build their faith upon that faith foundation. Nowadays, it's a little different. There's a zillion things coming at you all at once. People learn about Sufism before they even learn how to perform their prayers. People learn about Madhabism and become staunch adherents of Madhab and don't even know what the Madhab really dictates. It's sectarianism for sectarianism's sake. People start to make fatwas on different things and you don't even know how to lead the salat. Now, this is not to denigrate anybody. It's just the reality of our situation. And part of it has to do, of course, with that we're in the last days and we have qillat al-ilm. We have the lack of knowledge. The Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, foretold of these days. So what I wanted to do was focus on a couple of books that we have in Islam. Now, there's a zillion books. Okay, I'm not trying to sell. I have a book that I sell, that I wrote, books I wrote. But a couple of Islamic books that are very simple for people to read, very simple to comprehend. And if you focus on these couple books here, then it will give you a really good foundation of Islam. And so I wanted to talk about that a bit. We started to talk about it last week. We just didn't really get too much into it because of time. So the two books that I'm going to talk about are, number one, the 40 Hadith of Imam al-Nawawi, and number two is Riyadh al-Salihin, Guardians of the Righteous, which is also a book of Quran and Hadith written by Imam al-Nawawi. And I want to talk about the methodology of how these books were put together, you know, how people can learn from them. Now, as far as the 40 Hadith, subhanAllah, it's a simple book. It's an easy-to-read book. It's an easy-to-read compilation of 40 specific ahadith, prophetic statements of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet of Allah, may peace and blessings be upon him, that put together forms a very strong foundation of a person's plan, a very strong knowledge foundation. Now, this is not to tell you that you shouldn't read any other book on Islam. There's hundreds and thousands of books on Islam. I'm just saying to you that if you concentrate or at least try to get through and have at least a cursory understanding of these particular books, then you will have a very good foundation of the religion of Islam. And that's without a doubt. Now, I'm going to tell you why, all right? And we're going to go over some of these hadith, inshallah, together. Again, you are listening to Imam Luqman Ahmed on the Muslim Review. Call-in number is 929-477-2385. You might want to hold off on calling in, too, because for a while, because we're going to be teaching. But if you have any questions, I want you to call in. This is a new station for me, or this is a new program for me. And we'd like you to listen and benefit from it and tell people about it. Now, let's take a look at Riyadh al-Salihin, because this is what I was talking about last week. Okay. Now, one, I want to point out to you something, that in Islam, much of the way our religion is taught by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and of course he is the primary teacher of the religion. The Messenger of Allah is the one who was best suited to talk about Islam, what Islam is. And he does that through prophetic tradition, his hadith, what we call the sunnah. You know, and I think I explained last week, what is the sunnah? Well, we say the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, it covers five essential things. First, according to scholars of hadith, when we say sunnah, what we're saying is everything that came down about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam of word, everything he said, deeds, everything that he did, acquiescence to something, which is called taqrir in Arabic, meaning that anything that happened in his present, in his presence, or he was appraised of this going on, we're talking about religious acts, and he did not prohibit it, or he may have said nothing about it, or he may have endorsed it. Either one of those things, he didn't say, no, you can't do that. And we gave an example about taqrir last week. I'm going to just repeat myself. We gave an example of acquiescence of the time that some of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they were traveling and they came upon this Bedouin encampment, and they sought to use the water and, you know, to camp there themselves, because you're in the desert, you find somebody got an encampment, they got some water, you want to try to hook up with them, and but they refused. But then the people asked the companions, they said, wait a minute, but, you know, our chief is sick over here. Do you guys, does anyone amongst you know anything about healing, about medicine? So one of the companions of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, yeah, I know something about medicine. So he went to this chief, this companion, and he started to recite to him or over him Surat al-Fatiha. Surat al-Fatiha. First surah in the Quran. And miraculously, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen, the man, by the next morning, he was feeling a lot better. And they attributed that, of course, to Surah Fatiha. You know? And so, when they got back to the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, they got back to Medina, they told the Prophet the story, because some of the companions were like, hey man, you know, we never hear the Prophet say anything about using Surah Al-Fatiha as a healing, you know, and so there was some contention there. So when they got back to the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, they told him what happened. And then the Prophet said to them, how did you know that this was a ruqya? This was an incantation to be used for healing. How did you know that about Fatiha? And so the Prophet acknowledged that, hey, it is something to use for healing. And then the Prophet said, and give me, because the people gave the Muslims some sheep. They slaughtered some sheep for them as a way of showing thanks. There's fiqh about that too, but we're not going to talk about that. Prophet said, well, where's my portion? Okay, so that's called the acquiescence. That's called a taqrir. Something happened during the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was silent about it. A big portion of our fiqh, of understanding Islam, falls into this category. Why? Because people are people. They had to live their lives on a day-to-day basis. It's one thing when you read about hadith in the book, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, we have hadith. It's something else to understand that these things were going on in real people's lives, like real things were going on. So we can glean from the corpus of hadith what issues that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam made a big deal about, what he maybe said something about, but it wasn't as big as a deal, or what that all of a sudden, or what type of issues that wasn't a big, it wasn't a deal at all, that the Prophet just let it go. Different practices. Sometimes we ask about practices. Is this haram? Is that halal? Okay. And the Prophet didn't even say nothing about it being halal. Sometimes we want to make stuff halal or make something haram. We want to force a hukum, force a ruling on it. And you don't have to do that on everything. And the Prophet didn't teach like that, alayhi salatu wasalam, which is why I want to get back to talking about this particular book. Okay, now, say you're a Muslim. You want to understand Islam? Alhamdulillah, that's great. You go to Jumu'ah, you listen to khutbahs, you online, listen to stuff. Okay, I'm going to tell you the book that you want to get. Go through this book I'm telling you to get, which is called Riyad al-Salihin. I don't sell it, but you can get it at any Muslim bookstore. Don't pay more than $20 for it. Some places you can get it. You can get it online. You can get it online for free. Garden of the Righteous. Or Gardens of the Righteous. Riyad al-Salihin, written by Imam al-Nawawi, who was one of the great imams of Islam. Now, in the beginning of his book, and I want you to pay close attention to what I'm telling you right now. In the beginning of the book, we're going to go over the first, not the detail, we're just going to go over about the first 5-6 chapters of his book. Because I want you to see how the book was put together. Okay? It wasn't just hadith thrown together for nothing. No, it was put together in a specific way so that a person who wants to understand deen, wants to acquire ilm, that it gives essential things that if you want to understand Islam, these are the things that you need to understand. And he started at first, the first chapter in Riyad al-Salihin is Bab al-Ikhlas wa Ihdar al-Niyya fi Jami' al-A'mal wal-Aqwal wal-Ahwal Al-Bariza wal-Khafiyya. What does that mean? I'm going to translate it right away. It starts off by saying Bab. Now, Bab literally means door. Many scholars of Islam, when they wrote books, they would use what we would say chapter, they would say Bab, door. So door is analogous to chapter, like chapters of a book, abwab of a book, doors of a book. But the reason they would use the word door, there was a certain amount of symbolism here. So when they say bab is so-and-so, the door of something means that we're going to open the door to this topic and we're going to enter in with knowledge. See, we're going to open the door of this topic and we're going to enter in with knowledge. So he's saying this is the door regarding sincerity and the presence of intention in all of your actions, all of your words, all of conditions that are either hidden or secret. Meaning that the first thing about being a Muslim man or woman, the first thing about being Muslim, after taking your shahada, alhamdulillah, that's a given. We get that. It's just you have to be sincere for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have to do worship. We only worship one God, period. We don't worship the prophet. We don't worship the sheikh. We don't worship the issue. We don't worship what's going on TV. We don't worship the news. We don't worship the Syrians. We don't worship strategies. We do something of obeisance, of worship, of ibadah. That is done for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, be he exalted and glorified exclusively. That is one of the most important principles of being Muslim, is that your religious actions are done with God in mind. You're seeking God. You're doing it for the sake of God, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Imam al-Nawawi, when he wrote Riyad al-Salihin, the first chapter deals with this topic. Because if you ain't on Ikhlas, I don't care what you got, going. Allah says, فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمِلًا صَالِحًا وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. Allah says, anyone who wants a good meeting with his Lord, then he should do righteous deeds. And he should not associate partners with his Lord anyone, or should not associate anyone as partners with his Lord. That's the basis of our Islam. So a Nabi starts in Riyad al-Salihin. He starts with, the first thing he mentions is the verse, وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ هُنَفَاءَ وَيَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ وَيُؤْتُ الزَّكَاةَ وَذَلِكَ الدِّينُ الْقَيِّمَةَ. He mentions the verse in Surah Al-Bayyinah, Surah number 98, verse number 5. And they were not commanded except to worship Allah and worship Him alone without partners, and to establish the prayer and to pay the charity, pay the alms. And this is the right religion, right? So he mentions that verse, okay? Then he mentions another verse where Allah mentions, لَنْ يَنَالَ اللَّهَ لُهُمُهَا وَلَا دِمَاءُهَا وَلَكِنْ يَنَالُهُ التَّقْوَى مِنْكُمْ. In Surah Al-Hajj, Surah number 22, verse number 33. So he says, it is not the meat that reaches Allah, or it is not their meat that reaches Allah, and it is not their blood that reaches Allah, but what reaches Allah is the piety that's in the heart, piety from amongst you, piety that's in you now, or that's from you. So that verse came down about when we make the animal sacrifices during the Hajj time. And there was a time where there was a companion who was kind of well off, so he sacrificed a big fat sheep. Man, this is my sacrifice for Allah. There you go, big fat boy. Boom. And then other people who was kind of, they ain't had their money like that, but they wanted to make the sacrifice for the Hajj. So their little lambs and sheep, they were scrawny joints. Little scrawny, little skinny. You ever, you know, for those of you, you know, who slaughter, you know, we slaughter for Adha and things like that. You know, you go to the spot, you know, you got the big fat joint, you got the big fat sheep, which costs more. And then you say, hey, man, I ain't got money like that. I just only got about 60, 70 bucks. Hey, we got the little scrawny little goat over here. You can get that joint. So that existed during the time of the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam. So the people who got the big fat sheep started to talk bad about the people that had the little skinny sheep or skinny goat to slaughter for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we eat that meat. Anybody who's listening, non-Muslim, yeah, we slaughter meat. Like everybody, who don't slaughter meat? How do you think meat, cows and goats and stuff, and chickens, how they die? Yeah, in Islam, we slaughter in the name of Islam. Slaughter in the name of Allah, in the name of God. That's what we just, that's what makes it halal to us. That's called dhabiha. For my non-Muslim listeners, I mean, there's a lot of you guys out there, I'm glad you're tuning in. So the people who slaughtered the big fat and lambs were looking down on the people who slaughtered the little scrawny sheep and lamb, like you do. You won't give that to Allah. So Allah revealed the verse, لَنْ يَنَالَ اللَّهَ لُهُمُهَا وَلَا دِمَاءُهَا وَلَكِنْ يَنَالُهُ التَّقْوَى مِنْكُمْ. Allah says that it's not the meat of the animal that reaches Allah, and it's not the blood of the animal that reaches Allah. It's the taqwa that's in your heart. So Allah is trying to break it down to them. Listen, man, it don't matter what you do. People who got more, give more. People who got less, give less. But Allah rewards it with the same sort of conditioning, what's in their heart. Somebody can give 10 cents, fi sabilillah, for the sake of Allah, because that's all the 10 cents they got. Okay, let's say a dollar. That's their last dollar, and they really need that dollar. Don't laugh, because there's some people in this world who live on a dollar a day or less. That is real. And then somebody who, man, they got some paper. They got some money, but they only want to give a dollar when they really could have given it $100. Well, the one who gave his last dollar sincerely for Allah, he's of a higher status. He's made a greater sacrifice than the one who gave his dollar, but it ain't his last dollar. It's the dollar that he just dropped. You know, he'll throw that dollar away. or drop that dollar on the ground and not even pick it up. Okay, you see what I'm saying? So that's what ikhlas is all about. It's what's in your heart. And then Allah says another verse that Imam Nawawi mentions. We're still talking about ikhlas here and Riyadhus Salihin. If you're just tuning in, I see a couple people on the phone. You just hold on. But if you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Muslim Review with your host, Imam Luqman Ahmed, on Blog Talk Radio. Call in number 929-477-2385. We're talking about what books should people get in order to study and understand their religion. And I've narrowed it down to two specific books. Of course, Quran is one of those books, but I've narrowed it down to two more specific books. One is called The 40 Hadith of Imam al-Nabawi. I'm going to explain that a little bit to you in a bit. Right now, we're talking about Riyad al-Salihin, Gardens of the Righteousness. Excuse me, Gardens of the Righteous. If you don't got the book, straight get the book, okay? Because Imam al-Nawawi lines these chapters up with a specific procedure so you're able to build your faith. So we're talking about the first chapter, which is about sincerity, ikhlas. Because without ikhlas in Islam, you ain't got nothing. Islam is based upon, in fact, the meaning of the word Islam, if you're one of them people who think Islam means peace, you need to listen closely because that's not what the word means. It ain't going to never mean that. Islam means submission. That's what it means. Linguistically, that's what it means. Submission. In Muslim legal terminology, it means submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? And so everything we do in our religion is why we do it with taking the pleasure of Allah. So, first chapter, Riyadhus Salihin, Imam, and then we mentioned three verses. Then he mentioned the hadith of Umar ibn Khattab. We talked about this hadith a little bit last week. This is the main hadith that scholars of Islam, past and present, use to underscore the importance of having sincere intentions. Because your religion is connected to that. And that's the hadith of Umar ibn Khattab, where he said, that the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, innama a'malu bin niyat, wa innama li kulli imrin ma nawa, fa man kanat hijratuhu ila Allah wa rasulih, fa hijratuhu ila Allah wa rasulih. Wa man kanat hijratuhu lid dunya yusibuha aw imra'atin yankihuha, fa hijratuhu ila ma hajara ilayh. Hadha hadith muttafaqun alayhi. This is a hadith is agreed upon that it's authentic by Sahih, by the two Imams, Muslim and Bukhari. The translation of the hadith is that the Prophet said, deeds are considered by their intentions, that they're judged by their intentions, and a person will get the reward according to whatever he intended. So whoever made the migration, and talking about the migration here, specifically from Mecca to Medina, whoever made this migration for the sake of Allah and his messenger, then his migration will be for the sake of Allah and his messenger. And whoever migrated for the benefit of the world, for worldly benefits to gain from it, or for a woman to marry her, then his migration will be for what he migrated for. This is the hadith. Remember that we use this. The hadith also is in the 40 hadith because it's the foundational hadith. It talks about your intention. What's your intention, brother? What's your intention, sister? Because you got to check your intentions, man. That's just part of Muslims. Like you check the air in your tires, man. Like you check your gas gauge. You check your intentions like every day, man. Like several times a day. Because we're human beings. Our intentions fluctuate. But if you want to understand the foundational knowledge of Islam, you want to understand about having intentions, This is why I suggest you get this book, We Are the Solid. Hey, I'm not selling the book. Maybe I should start selling the book. But also, there's another hadith. So he mentions several hadith. I'm not going to go into all of them, but he mentions several hadith in this section about intentions that give people an idea of what Islam is based upon. Okay. There's one hadith in here that I want to read you because this is a really important hadith in understanding intentions. Okay, now, the hadith reported by Abi Yazid Ma'an Ibn Yazid Ibn Al-Akhnas, may Allah be pleased with all. Now, I know what particular hadith is in there. One of the things that is significant about this hadith, which is in Riyad al-Salihin, is also in Sahih Bukhari, is the narrators, because it's narrated by Abi Yazid. His name was Ma'an, on the authority of Ibn Yazid, on the authority of Ibn al-Akhnas. So this is a case where the narrator, his father, and his grandfather were all companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ain't that's like, that's deep. I have to do a show on companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but his father and his grandfather were all companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is the only instance where this occurs. This is the only case where there were three generations and they were all sallallahu alaihi wasallam, were all companions of Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam. I'm just still shaking on just the beautiful ni'mah that we're like, you are companion of Rasulullah, and your father is companion of Rasulullah, and your grandfather is companion of Rasulullah. I'm just, whew. Okay, let me get back to the hadith. So, but I wanted to tell you, that's the only time where that has, where that circumstance exists like that. So, in the hadith, just kana Abi Yazid akhwaja dinanir yatasaddaqu biha فوضعها عند رجل في المسجد فجئت فأخذتها فأتيته بها فقال والله ما إياكم أردت فخصمته إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال لك ما نويت يا يزيد ولك ما أخذت يا معن. Listen, Sahih Bukhari. So the hadith, and this is a deep hadith about intentions, man. Ma'an, okay, so what happened is, here's what Ma'an said. He said, my father set aside some dinars for charity, right? He just put together some dinars, put some ducats, and said, okay, this is for charity. And there was a man in the masjid who was giving stuff. So he said, listen, man, here it is. Somebody come need just some of this money. Bismillah. So Ma'an said, I went to the man, and I took the dinars for myself. Let me go to the hadith first, and I'll give you a little explanation. So he said, I went to the man and took back those dinars. And so his father said, I didn't put that down there for you to get. So we argued about that back and forth. So we went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we said, this is what happened. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to the father, Yazid, you get the reward for whatever you intended. And he said to me, Ma'an, you're entitled to what you have taken. Now, I'm going to break that down real quick to you. And I know we're spending a lot of time on this first chapter of Riyad al-Salihin. But you know what? I might even, this is my show, inshallah ta'ala. I don't know I'm always trying to come up with new ideas. I talk about issues. But I might just make this where we're going to be explaining Riyad al-Salihin for a minute. Because we're not going to get all through what I want to really get you to understand. I want you to understand how he put these chapters together in order to build a foundation in a person's knowledge. But these are hadith of the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam. You just can't gloss over them. I'm sorry. This is the word of Rasulullah. You just can't, you know. Sometimes you try to just get through it, and just what the prophet said, keep moving. But it'd be so much light. It'd be so much knowledge. It's so much light from the words of Rasulullah. So it's something that sometimes you just can't say the hadith and move on. You got to stop and really break this joint down. I can't help it. So look at this hadith. Yazid, who was Ma'an's father, he had some extra cash. Did he want to give Sadaqa piece of it or not? Right, okay, he's extra cash. Still right. So Ma'an is thinking, man, listen, I could use that cash. So he wants, his father wants to go to the masjid and put it out. Hey, man, just some money, peace be with bismillah. So he goes to the masjid and he gives the dinar. It doesn't say in this particular hadith, maybe some of the other narrations of it, if there are any, has how many dinar, but that's not the issue of the fiqh that's coming out of this. The issue is about intention. So Pop goes to the masjid, drop some dinars in the masjid. Just say, listen, this is for anybody who come by and need it. Son follow him after Pop leaves. Son say, I need that joint right for me and take it. Pop hears about that and say, well, this wasn't for you. Son is thinking, it was for the needy. It was for Allah. I just happen to be a worthy recipient. Pop is like, no, man, this wasn't for you to have that. To have that zakat money. So they went to the Prophet and brought it up to him. I could imagine what the conversation was like. So the Prophet said, Yazid, whatever you intended by putting that money in the masjid, Allah will give you that. And see how the Prophet is, see how he does not even how he doesn't say what the man's intention is. He don't get into the judgment about the intention. See how even Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is the Prophet of God, this is Khatam al-Anbiya wal-Mursaleen, this is the Habib of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, see how even he does not presuppose to know what's in somebody's heart. But what about us? Look at how smooth, the Prophet teaches. That's what I love about Rasulullah. I love everything about Rasulullah, but I love the way he teach. He's smooth, man. So he says to Yazid, Zid, you get whatever you intended. Well, give you that. You got that, huh? And then he says to Ma'an, he says, Ma'an, you went and took the sadaqah, and you were entitled to that. Because that's how it is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is about what's in your heart, man. So, Imam An-Nawawi starts with that first section. He deals with hadith, and it's a nice amount of hadith in here. We need to be teaching. I think I'm going to have to just have a separate class, man. We just teaching Riyadus Salihin. Breaking down Riyadus Salihin. I'm telling you, this is so much. I mean, teaching hadith, speaking hadith, man, hadith is awesome. The words of Allah, of course, is awesome. The words of the Prophet, the Prophet was given so much guidance. He can say one part of a sentence and you can just take 10, 12 different issues, masail of fiqh from that. Just one hadith, he just come up with. Blah, blah, blah. That's the way the guidance of Islam is. Anyway, I'm delivering. So there's another hadith that he mentioned too about ikhlas. There's a hadith of Abi Huraira. Let me mention too, Abu Huraira. People like Abu Huraira. Abu Huraira, he's a very popular sahabi. But his name actually is Abdurrahman ibn Sakhar. That was his name, Abdurrahman ibn Sakhar. They called him Abu Huraira because he likes cats. He used to like cats. He was a teenager when he met the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And he used to like cats, and he used to hide the cats in the cuff of his of his sleeve of his stove, you know, inside the sleeve. He not hiding me, carry around a little kitten, you know, talking to the prophet, kitten, you know, popping out his sleeve and stuff. So the prophet used to call him Abahir, son of the father of the cat. And he just became affectionately known as Abu Huraira, father of the cat. But his real name was Abdurrahman ibn Sakhar. But if you said Abu, if you said it was related by Abu, if you said the hadith was related by Abdurrahman ibn Sakhar, people are like, who the heck are you talking about? But anyway, I just want to point that out. But anyway, this hadith, shorter hadith, where the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, "Inna Allah Ta'ala la yanduru ila ajsamikum ولا إلى صوركم ولكن ينظروا إلى قلوبكم وأعمالكم." This hadith is collected by Imam Muslim, and the hadith of Abu Huraira, where he said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Allah does not look at your figures nor at your attire, but he looks at your hearts and your deeds." So this is something else about the niyyah. Don't think that you could dress up for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. See, that's the problem with these, I'm just going to say it. That's the problem with these pious looking selfies, okay? You know, cats want to take a selfie, and you got your little pious look, you got your beads out there, you're on the rug, you got jokers taking pictures of themselves while you're praying, and then post it on Facebook, or Twitter, or whatever, you know, and then people say, "Oh, mashallah, brother, you look real pious." Like, mix me with all that. That's why you need to study. If you're on that kind of stuff, that's messed up, man. Ain't no such thing as a pious look to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can't just look at a dude and say, "Well, she's, oh, mashallah, she's so pious. She got on the niqab. She got on the, oh, brother, that toe. Oh, his beard. Mashallah. Oh, no. Wearing the beard is the sunnah of the Prophet, so it's no doubt. Covering the aura, covering that which is not supposed to be seen by opposite sex, by certain people. Covering that is wajib. It's incumbent according to our laws as Muslims. But you can't look at somebody on the surface and talk about, "Oh, they look so pious." That's, man, that's how. And a lot of you sisters, man, when you start complaining about, "But the brother, yeah, because you went for the pious look." Taqwa is in the heart, baby. Taqwa is in the heart. Piety is in the heart. Don't go by what you see. It can give you a little inclination. Okay, mashallah, at least she's covered. At least her brother's dressed modestly. Okay, it give you a little bit going on. Alhamdulillah, to blind to me. I mean, a person could be dressed in a straight-up skank way, male or female, and you know from the giddy-go, the dresser, "Hey, hold up, I don't even think I even want to pursue knowing this person just by what I see from the outside." But then again, you may not even know the reality of what's going on with that person. It may be a reason for that. It may be a circumstantial situation that you just don't know about. You just happen to get that glance and you think, "Oh, stuck for the law." See, we need to stop that. That's why people can study this religion, man. Straight down home teachings about what it is to be Muslim. What Islam stands for. Everybody want to be a doggone fakir. But this made me think, this hadith, the hadith of Abu Huraira, "Inna Allah Ta'ala la yanduru ila ajsamikum wala ila suwarikum walakin yanduru ila qulubikum wa a'malikum," is that verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not look at your figures nor your bodies. He doesn't look at your bodies and your shapes. He looks at your heart and your deeds. And this particular hadith has several narrations with slightly different wordings, but it's telling you that the pious look, that's some other stuff right there. All right? Because the law don't look at you like that. So if you want to understand ikhlas, I'm going to say don't dress in good attire. In another hadith, the man said, Ya Rasulullah, inna rajula yuhibbu ayyakuna thawbahu hasana wa na'lahu hasana. He said, Ya Rasulullah, a man like to have nice thawb and nice sandals. The Prophet said, Allah is beautiful. He loves beauty. Al-kibaru batarul haqqi wa ghamatun nas. He says, but arrogance is when you reject the truth and you put down other people. So it ain't nothing wrong with dressing nicely, looking nice, having nice clothes on, have on a nice thawb, have on some nice sandals, have on a nice hijab. But even then, you got to be careful that you're not going overboard, attracting the attention. And then, you know, that's not what dress is not designed to do that for women and for men. We can look nice, but we ain't out there trying to make a spectacle of ourselves. That's not deen. That's some other stuff. And having that pious look, stop taking them pious selfies. Stop it right now. Because you're outside of what this deen is about. Oh, look at him. You got the camera right there while you're on the rug with the dicker beads in your hand looking down like you're real pious, and then you're going to take the shot? Really? Yeah. Okay, anyway, mashallah ta'ala. But just, it's mashallah. What can I say? So, you have this hadith. It's in the section of ikhlas. Okay, so, and then he talks about that. And so, he's trying to build something here. See, you're building your understanding of Islam based upon selected verses, selected ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and there's several of them. Okay, now we're almost running out of time, so I'm going to shift a little bit. So next week, inshallah, you know what? We're just going to finish talking about ikhlas a little bit, and we're going to go into the next section. Okay, the next section in the Riyadhus Salihin is about repentance, Tawbah. So it's like Imam an-Nawawi got you on this progressive foundational way of learning. So it's like he's saying, okay, before you get started as a Muslim, you need to understand about ikhlas, about sincerity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because if you ain't on that page, everything else is just moot point. Everything else is moot point. Not that you can't be a good person. You can be a good person without Islam. You can be a good person. You can be a kind person, all kind of stuff. Yeah, you can do all that. But in Islam, as our religion, this is what we are pursuing. We're pursuing God. We're pursuing Jannah. We're pursuing Allah's pleasure. We're pursuing the truth. We're pursuing guidance and righteousness. That's what we do. We're Muslims. Man, what the heck? We're humans. We have failures. We have sins. Duh. Don't even get into the conversation about the Muslim, about the sinless, the Muslim who think he ain't got no sin. Because that joker got sin right there. Even thinking that he don't got none, that ain't he got. Because that itself is a sin. You hear what I'm saying? Let me say it again. To think that you don't have no sin is a sin. You already sinned. Let alone act like you ain't got no sin. You double sin because it's going to make you arrogant. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Kullu ibn Adam al-Khatta wa khayru khatta'ina at-tawwabun. He said, all of the children of Adam, they all have some sin. And the best of those who have sin, and sin here, he uses the word khata, al-khata. It's also translated, is the meaning, because your khata'an means bighayri qasdin. Ma'ana fi'l bighayri qasd. Doing something with not meaning. But in this case, also, the Prophet is talking about sin. Doing something with meaning. But sin is ignorance in Islam. When you sin, not that you didn't know what you was doing, but dude, you're acting ignorant, right? That's how it is. There's different ways that Allah put sins in certain categories. That's a whole different topic altogether. We're going to touch on a little bit of it next week because we're going to talk about repentance. Inshallah ta'ala. Okay, we're running out of time. So, here's what we're going to do, brothers and sisters. I changed my mind. I'm going to start, because I just started this show about maybe a couple months. I don't think it's even been a month. And I started off talking about issues pertaining to Muslims. Some of this crap is going on, just making some headway of it because it needed to be done. But, you know, I'm a teacher. And I love talking about Rasulullah so much. So I'm going to have to make this show focus on trying to explain hadith, explaining religion. So we're going to mix it up. We're going to have a little bit talking about some stuff that's going on, issues in the news, blah, 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 blah. And then we're going to start talking about Rasulullah, alayhi salatu salam, and explaining some of these hadith. Yeah, that's my decision. So next week, you know, we're still going to be talking about these two books, Riyadus Salihin and the 40 Hadith. But what we're going to do, inshallah ta'ala, I want you to tune in, tell your friends. What we're going to do is we're going to be talking about how Imam al-Nabawi put together Hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a way where we can build your faith. You can build your faith from one step to the next step, one step to the next step, one step to the next step, and how you get a really healthy dose of how to practice Islam so you can sidetrack some of this madness that's going on out there. That's all. Start off with ikhlas. Can't do nothing without being sincere to Allah. If you ain't on that page, you're going, whatever. Okay, so we're starting off with how, remember, then we talked about ikhlas. And now, the second chapter, the second bab, and he called this Bab of Toba. Now, remember in the first time we talked about bab, how he made it all long and everything? Man, listen, Toba, he don't say, he don't go long. He says, Bab of Toba, Dor Toba. That's it. Because Toba, I don't want to get started. Toba is wajib on every Muslim for every sin. Everybody got to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everybody. Even the Prophet said, Inni la astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayhi fi yawmin akthar min sab'ina marra. The Prophet alayhi salam said, I ask Allah for forgiveness and I repent to him every day. 70 times. Every day? This is Rasulullah. Every day, 70 times repenting. So what about us? We can talk about that next week. And so I want to thank you all for tuning in. I want to make a couple of quick announcements. I give khutbah every Friday at Islamic Society of Folsom in Folsom, California. And please visit my blog, imamlukman.wordpress.com. And also, if you have not got a copy of my book, Double Edged Slavery, you want to get it. It's available at Amazon.com. Again, Imam Lukman, Lukman, Ahmed, Ahmad. The name of the book is Double Edged Slavery, and it's an eye opener. So, inshallah, until next week, we're going to see you then. We're going to continue with this new format, which is going to be a little bit of the lesson. It's going to be about, you know, kind of current events and stuff affecting Muslims. I'm going to weigh in on that, inshallah ta'ala. But we're going to get down into the study of the hadith of Rasulullah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I just fell in love with Rasulullah into that. So thank you for tuning in to the Muslim Review with your host, Imam Lukman Ahmed. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Could you hear the show, honey? How was it? So, for the last 20 volunteers. I'm reading from that book. That's why I'm wore out. I went through it back to the beginning. Through it back to the beginning. I must have been through the whole book about these 10 or 12 times. About the book, about 20 years. And I
What's that? That's burnt rice. Oh, wow. No, I didn't think about feta.
So I'm on the blog, where the share
button. Uh-huh. So which side?
Well, haven't you seen the plus sign where it tells you that there are different different apps and different sites that you can share to?
Oh, the icon?
Yeah, you never seen this?
I look. You're telling me I can share my stuff to 199 sites?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.